You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I don't think Micah Parsons is going to quit talking anytime soon with the success of his podcast right now. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. People are tweeting in at Unsports ESPN their picks for who they would draft ESPN personalities on Survivor. Again, for whatever reason, Smalls has us going down in a plane crash, God forbid, as part of this, which I don't understand.
I'm ready for any scenario.
Well, that's good. That's a scenario I'm not interested in. I got to be honest with you. So Micah Parsons was a part of the Stephen A. Smith podcast, and he has said a lot of different things. And one thing has caught our attention in terms of how he ranks quarterbacks. Here is Micah on his quarterback, Dak Prescott, and what he has accomplished in and around the NFL.
Besides Patrick Mahomes, what other quarterback in the AFC has accomplished anything to get more credit than Dak?
Joe Flacco, Josh Allen.
Did he finish?
No, but they got further.
It doesn't matter how far you get. If you're going home and you're not tearing the ring, it doesn't matter.
So you go to the NFC Championship.
It doesn't matter. If we get sent home, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's no different.
It doesn't matter.
Getting bounced in a wild card game?
It's no different.
Oh, come on, man. That's ridiculous.
You just get more hope. More hope. But if you are not the Super Bowl champion, it does not matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter if you're an MVP, defensive player of the year. It doesn't matter. If you're not the Super Bowl champion, it doesn't matter. You haven't accomplished anything.
Okay, there's a lot to digest there. It seems as if Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, Joe Burrow has been to the Super Bowl, have accomplished more. I understand his overall point, but let's actually go big picture, CeCe. As somebody who played 11 years in the league, is it Super Bowl or you accomplish nothing? Is that how players look at it?
No, it's not binary. I mean, there is success beyond just winning a championship. And the biggest thing is, can you position your team? Can you give them a better chance to accomplish that by your play, by your productivity as an individual? And I guess that's the part where I think it's fair to be critical of the Dallas Cowboys based on the talent that they have on their roster. I mean, listen, if they didn't win a championship, we all would have qualified it as a successful season for them. If they would have gotten to the championship rounds, if they would have been one of the final four teams standing, if they would have ended the 27-year conference championship game drought, we would say that that was a successful season, and hopefully that indicates progress in their program on the way to putting themselves in the Super Bowl and maybe being able to hold up the Lombardi. But to sit here and say, well, yeah, it doesn't matter when you get bounced from the playoffs, no, it absolutely does. I mean, listen, the deeper you go into the playoffs, the better your chances are at being able to win a championship. I just hate that revisionist history or that retroactively imposing failure on all the other 31 teams because your season was such a disappointment. So I see what Micah Parsons is trying to do in terms of provide some cover for his teammates and for his head coach. But, yeah, saying that the season doesn't matter if you don't win the championship is absolutely false.
Yeah, I don't know how he could say that somebody like Joe Burrow hasn't accomplished more than Dak Prescott. Because if Dak took the Dallas Cowboys to a Super Bowl, we would view him completely different. We would view the team completely differently. We would say we think that he is capable of winning a Super Bowl because he got his team there, which is how we talk about Joe Burrow, even despite the injury history. We say we've seen him take his team there. We know he can get it done. I feel the same way about Jalen Hurts. Even though the end of the season wasn't great for Jalen last year, I saw him go to a Super Bowl and outplay Patrick Mahomes. So I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles can win a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. It colors and informs the way that you view this quarterback and how their team could have success. And Dak does not measure up to some of these other guys, which is why we still have questions about him and the chances that he has of winning a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys.
So if you just go based on the starting quarterbacks last year in the AFC, because he brought up specifically the AFC, he didn't bring up the NFC, he brought up the AFC, and just based on accomplishments, I understand where he's coming from. Like Dak has had a really good career. Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think, like, it's almost like we debate Dak so much, we don't just acknowledge the first sentence of, this is a man that's had a really good football career. That doesn't mean he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean he has accomplished everything he can accomplish. But Dak's been a really good player in this league. in terms of accomplishments, AFC specifically, quarterbacks last year that absolutely are more accomplished than Dak Prescott, right? Aaron Rodgers, obviously, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. That's it in the AFC. Like, you could say Josh Allen's better. He's not more accomplished. Is he? I mean, they're kind of the same, are they not? And that they're both been individually really good. We think their team should be better than they are, and they haven't gotten over that hump.
Well, one player has won more division titles and has been to a conference championship game, and that would be Josh Allen.
So okay, so then maybe more accomplished. Okay, yeah, add him to the list.
From that standpoint, in positioning his team to have success and win a championship, Josh Allen has done a better job of that than Dak.
Okay, so we're talking four or five guys. Like, so if Micah Parsons wants us to look at Dak Prescott as a top 10 quarterback in the league, we already do. Right? I mean, we pretty much already do. Like, I don't.
Also, I think it's interesting that he qualified it with AFC because if the Bengals or the Bills or the Ravens or some of these guys that he's trying to compare Dak to were in the NFC and didn't have to go through Mahomes and the Chiefs, who's to say that they wouldn't be in a Super Bowl? Or who's to say they wouldn't have more success if they didn't have to come up against that guy?
Well, who is the most accomplished quarterback in the NFC? Matthew Stafford?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up and down here. Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts hasn't been in the league long, but got to a Super Bowl, obviously. Oh, Jared Goff.
I was going to say.
Jared Goff's had a level of accomplishment.
I would put Stafford 1, Goff 2.
Yeah. It's a low bar to clear in the NFC.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a low bar to clear.
He's talking about these AFC quarterbacks, whereas I think you have to. Why are you not comparing him to guys in his own conference?
Well,
here's the problem that I have with what Micah Parsons is doing and saying that it doesn't matter when you get bounced from the playoffs. It absolutely should matter to you that you got embarrassed in the wild card round against the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. It absolutely should matter to you that you lost, you know, in the divisional round to the San Francisco 49ers last year. And that was after the previous season in 2021 when you losing to them, led by Jimmy Garoppolo in the wild card in your own building. How you end the season should absolutely matter to you, and you should be taking that personal. It shouldn't be the excuse making and saying, well, you know, there are 13 or 12 other playoff teams that were disappointed and only one team was happy, and that was the Kansas City Chiefs because they won it. No. Stop trying to move the goalposts when it comes to how you are perceived in the NFL and how far short you fell of the ultimate goal. You were supposed to be a team that was capable of winning a championship. You won 36 regular season games over the last 3 years, and you soiled yourself when you got to the playoffs. And on top of that, you've got guys in that locker room that were saying that they had tired legs and they were too burnt out in order to compete against the Green Bay Packers. That should be your focus, not excuse making. Not saying that, oh, yeah, well, there are 31 other teams that failed. Okay, Captain Obvious. What matters is positioning yourself to win a championship once you get into the postseason, and your team absolutely didn't do that. And so how you plan on getting that fixed should be the only things that are coming out of your mouth now. Not trying to defend your teammate, not trying to defend your coach by providing cover and saying, oh, well, the season's a failure unless you win.
How do we define accomplishment for a quarterback? Can we just actually set those boundaries, right? Or guidelines, I should say, because that's what he's alluding to is accomplishment. It's an MVP, a Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl appearance. What else should be on that list of accomplishments? Conference championship?
Playoff wins.
I mean, I think it's different per person, right? Like we view...
Is it though? Because we're talking about accomplishment. It's almost like We're comparing once we've acknowledged the accomplishments. What Micah Parsons said is Dak Prescott, outside of Mahomes, is the second most accomplished quarterback, basically. Nobody's more accomplished because all of us lose outside of the one team that wins. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying is it's hard to say that Dak Prescott is more accomplished than Lamar Jackson, who's won two MVPs, which gets you to the Hall of Fame.
It's hard to say that he's more accomplished than Matt Stafford, who's won a Super Bowl. It's hard to say he's more accomplished than Jared Goff, who's been to a Super Bowl and a conference championship game with two different teams. Like, I don't know why he keeps deferring to the AFC when he should be talking about where Dak ranks in the NFC. And that's, I think, a less deep crop of quarterbacks for us to discuss.
I just don't understand how we're defending Dak Prescott when you look at the last three playoff losses the Cowboys have had. He lost to Jordan Love. Jordan Love in his first season as a full-time starter. He lost to Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy has started up until that point, what, seven games, six games, seven games? I mean, and he lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't understand why we're trying to defend Dak Prescott and say, oh, well, he's more accomplished than these other quarterbacks and he has. Listen, I don't care if he's more accomplished or there aren't quarterbacks that are more accomplished than him. I'm looking at what he's doing in the postseason when your quarterback needs to be at his best. And he comes up small when he goes head-to-head against lesser players. I don't get it. I don't know how you defend it. That's the part I don't understand about what Michael Parsons is doing right now or how he's framing the conversation around Dak.
It becomes an opportunity for people to criticize Dak, right? And like Michael Parsons walks us into that when there's no reason to walk us into that.
Exactly.
This is another thing I can't understand. I know you're trying to defend him, but what you're doing is pitting him against guys who right. actually have more success than he does. And then it causes us to have this conversation, do the comparison game, and put Dak on a lower level, even though, as you said, he's had a great career.
He's had a great career. That doesn't mean he's in the Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean he's Mahomes level, but he's had a great career, right? It's like, you know, you do the role play of Stephen A. asking Michael Parsons about Dak Prescott. It's real simple. Michael Parsons should say, I believe in this guy. I believe we can win with this guy. He's had a great career, and I believe it's time that all of us put up or shut up. Okay, that's it. Like, we move on. There's no, when you say he's more accomplished, what happens is what we just did. We are pitting him against others. We're defining accomplishment. And when you define accomplishment by team and individual success, Dak Prescott, by level of accomplishment, cannot compare to some of the people that we just mentioned. Yet he actually may be better than some of them, but not more accomplished than them. Right? There may be teams that say, I'd rather Dak Prescott than Jared Goff. Fine. No problem. Dak Prescott's not more accomplished than Jared Goff. He's just not even close. And I don't know why Micah Parsons walks us into this. Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Coming up, we may have a little bit of insight as to where the QB carousel may land. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
You may not see Russell Wilson's name out there for, you know, another few weeks. And I would just say that there might be some interest, but it's not going to be at the level that teams once were interested.
There's been this narrative as if this guy doesn't have a place in the NFL. He may not be a starter for the next 5 years for the same team, but currently he is a starting quarterback in the league.
There are places around the NFL where there are teams that might not be in within striking distance of the top three quarterbacks in this year's draft class that would consider a veteran option on the cheap like Russ.
We are closing in on some real clarity about this QB carousel that we could be walking into in the NFL offseason, because yesterday, or over the last 24 hours or so, Ocho Cinco with Shannon Sharp on their podcast threw out there the idea of, he said a little birdie has been telling him that Russell Wilson to the Steelers could be a thing, and then all of a sudden betting odds change, and now the Steelers are the favorites for Russell Wilson, which, I mean, I personally love this fit because I love Mike Tomlin, so I'm going to assume that anything that Mike Tomlin does is going to be the right move, right. And I'm a supporter of Russell Wilson's. But this makes sense to me, guys, on many levels, because they are a playoff team from a year ago, not a great team, that he's an upgrade at the quarterback position, Smalls.
He is an upgrade, but how much of an upgrade? And how much of a runway do you have with him? I understand that Pittsburgh is going to probably have a winning record yet again, and they're a team that feels like they're a quarterback away. They have a lot of really good pieces, and you can add somebody to that mix. What could they be? I understand all of that. And I know that statistically, Russell Wilson is an upgrade on what they have. But I just think the Justin Fields route makes more sense to me, a younger player who has much more upside than Russell Wilson from a skill set standpoint at this point in his career. I just think that would make more sense for Pittsburgh. But I get financially why they would view Russell Wilson as an option.
Yeah, that's where the conversation begins and ends for me financially. Like, what we going to do? Like, I mean, I'm sitting there looking at what the Pittsburgh Steelers had last year. 13 touchdown passes between the three quarterbacks that started games for them. 13. That's not nearly good enough. And then Justin Fields, in any season that he's played in, has never had more than 17 passing touchdowns. So in terms of having a quarterback that gives you competent play at the position relative to NFL standards, Russell Wilson provides that for you, even at this stage in his career. And the great thing about the way that Russell Wilson played under Sean Payton last year, he didn't necessarily win a lot of games for the Denver Broncos, but he wasn't the reason why they were going to lose a lot of games either. And I think that's exactly what Pittsburgh is looking for in order to go on a playoff run and win some playoff games. Do I think they would be capable of winning a title with Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback? Probably not. But do I think they'll scare the hell out of somebody in the wild card or division round? I absolutely believe that, especially if their defense is healthy and Arthur Smith helps to rebuild their running game and their identity on the offensive side of the ball. I think Russell Wilson is by leaps and bounds better than anything that Pittsburgh has had at quarterback post-Ben Roethlisberger.
I feel like we're heading towards this happening on a low-money deal where Russell Wilson will do literally anything Mike Tomlin asks him to do. And because I think that Mike Tomlin, I don't know him. CeCe, I'm sure, does. Mike Tomlin feels like the guy that's going to call Russell Wilson and say, you, me, here's where we're going to meet, just the two of us, no agents, no managers, nobody else. We're going to have dinner. It's going to be a back room, private. Nobody's going to bother us. Man to man, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to leave there figuring out if we could do this together. Because what happened in Denver to you is not going to happen here. I promise you that, right? And whether you think Denver was right or wrong, Mike Tomlin doesn't operate that way. That is clear, right? That's part one. Part two is it feels like, all right, Atlanta's going to trade the 43rd pick in the draft, second round, to Chicago for Justin Fields. Like, it just, it feels like we're all kind of heading in that direction, doesn't it, or no?
No, it does feel like we're heading in that direction, but I want to nail down on something that you just said. Like, yeah. Mike Tomlin saying that those two sit down as men and kind of iron out what their vision would be for how the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get back to winning playoff games. I think that's important. The other thing that's of note with that scenario is that Russell Wilson wouldn't be parachuting into an organization that's devoid of culture. Like, what they asked him to do in Denver is not only provide high-level quarterback play, but to build a culture. And I don't think that that's necessarily something that Russ excels at. In Seattle with Pete Carroll, there was already a strong culture in place. That's what allowed him to develop into the quarterback that we now know, right? He was a third-round pick, but Pete Carroll had a really strong team around him and a really strong culture in place. I think having that in place in Pittsburgh only serves to benefit Russell Wilson, take something off of his plate in terms of what the franchise is asking him to do, and he can get back to focusing on what he does best, which is playing quarterback and having those second reaction plays, those off-script plays. And with the receiving core that they would have in Pittsburgh with George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, coupled with the running game with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris in a rebuilt offensive line, why would you not be bullish on what Pittsburgh's offense can grow into throughout the 2024 season? I think it could be a situation where, again, Pittsburgh could challenge for a division title and Pittsburgh could absolutely win a playoff game or two.
I also think what you said about culture is really important when you talk about this specific quarterback because of what happened in Denver and, frankly, the residue of things we found out about in Seattle. But we wondered this past year if Russell Wilson was malleable, if he's able to fall in line to what a coach wants from him and he's able to take a step back, a step out of the spotlight and just be a football player rather than a brand. And I think he showed us that this year. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't a perfect fit between he and Sean Payton, but I think he proved that he can fall in line to what a coach wants. And Mike Tomlin is a really good judge of that. And I don't think that either one of those men would want to go into that situation if they didn't think that they were going to hold up their end of the bargain. And when I think about some of the personalities that Mike Tomlin has worked with, and it hasn't been an issue, at least in real time in Pittsburgh, that we've learned about as the media, I think it'll be an okay fit.
I think phenomenal points by both of you. And I was hoping this would happen before this conversation. Now I'm really hoping this would happen, right? Because I think that Russell Wilson proved last year he's coachable, but CeCe's point is through the roof. If you're coachable, but there's nothing around you in terms of culture and system and structure, that's great, but you're falling in line with what? There's nothing to fall in line with.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has had 40 years of what to fall in line with. It is like unbreakable what they have done over the course of time. I want this to happen so badly. I love this fit. Please happen.
But see, as we're talking this through, everything we're saying about this situation and why it would be beneficial for Russell Wilson makes me want Justin Fields to go there even more. When I think about everything that has been going on around him with the Bears and in Chicago, and how he's not necessarily had that stability needed in order for him to succeed, I think about him going into likely the most stable, or at least top three most stable situations in the NFL with a coach like Mike Tomlin. And I just think about what Justin Fields could turn into if he was put in an environment like that.
Fair.
Well, the only thing about the Justin Fields of it all is that's a $25 million commitment over the next 2 years, mm-hmm. whereas Russell Wilson might just be a one-year commitment for 2024.
Right.
And I think having that kind of flexibility at the most important position when there's no clear-cut best pathway to getting high-level quarterback play, I think that's the most important thing for Pittsburgh at this juncture. The worst thing you can do is to trade a premium pick for Justin Fields, which would be a first or second round pick plus, and then find out within, you know, 6 or 7 games that he's really not the guy, and that you've got to pivot and find a different option at quarterback after the season. I think that's the worst place you can be in as the Steelers. I guess there would be the middle ground option of trading for him and not exercising the fifth-year option and using the franchise tag as a placeholder, but then that becomes a much more expensive gamble if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to me, the Russell Wilson of it all makes sense because I feel like it's more of a known quantity. And for an organization that's desperate to have postseason success, I think Russell Wilson gives you a better opportunity to do that this upcoming season.
And now we go to Nuno with a curveball because Nuno wants to throw this whole thing upside down because as we're sitting here and we love this whole idea of Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, Nuno, our producer, wants to throw a curveball. He's been chomping at the bit for this. Go ahead, Nuno.
Yes. Mike Tomlin has how many years left on his contract?
This one.
So does not – if you look at it and say, hey, let's go the Russell Wilson route, to me that screams this is Mike Tomlin's last hurrah. Like one last time, you figure this out. If it works, great. You go – you know, you have some playoff success. If not, you can just walk away versus, as you're saying, Kanzi, give all up that equity, all that equity up for Justin Fields, and then all of a sudden Tomlin leaves at the end of the year. So – this makes the most sense if Tomlin's not coming back. And until he signs an extension, the belief, I think personally, the belief has to be that Tomlin's done at the end of this year.
But
Here's the thing. I think the extension is a matter of when, not if. I think he absolutely signs an extension this summer, but I think he's waiting to see what the franchise would be willing to do and how far they'd be willing to go when it came to a quarterback. Like, he wants to upgrade at the quarterback. He realizes he can't get it done with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and guys like that. He's got to find somebody that allows him to compete in the AFC North when he's head-to-head with Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Deshaun Watson when healthy. Like, that's what he's looking at. And it becomes much more difficult. There's less margin for error if you're rolling out there with Kenny Pickett. And so I will credit the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization for being willing to entertain all options, considering they used a first-round pick on Kenny Pickett 2 years ago. I think that's important, but I think Mike Tomlin is waiting to see exactly what's going to happen at quarterback before he locks in long-term.
In or out on Russ to the Steelers? 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. Plus, leadership based on media perception? We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Money, power, and respect. Smalls feels like she has that around here. She now has people tying her shoes.
I didn't ask for that to happen.
Did someone just come in and tie your shoes?
Well.
Must be nice.
She'd tie your shoe too. I was just sitting here and my shoe was untied and she, Ashley, who does our makeup, wonderful person, squatted down and said, I'm going to tie your shoe because this is an accident waiting to happen. I can't have you have another black eye. So she's just trying to protect me from me.
Must be nice, as Small says. Just saying. CeCe, I've never had anybody tie my shoes around here, and you?
No, never happened to me. But, I mean, based on how they treat Smalls when she walks into the makeup room every morning, I mean, it's safe to say that she's treated like a veal when she comes into ESPN to do the radio show. I mean, she is pampered like no other. It's incredible.
It's amazing. Well, amazing.
You know, I spent a lot of time in there, you guys. You guys are in and out. You know, it takes you what? 60 seconds maybe to get your hair and makeup.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
There's nothing they can do with us. With these women. We've become close.
The two of us, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do. We give up on you two. Get back in the studio. Eric in Pennsylvania listening on SiriusXM 80 about Russell Wilson to the Steelers and the possibility, which I loved before, and CeCe and Smalls have made me love it even more now after listening to this conversation.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
Morning.
First off, love the show.
Thank you.
Second, Canty, Happy New Year.
Yes. Eric,
yes.
Amazing.
Keep it up. He hates it. Keep it up.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Second, I am a diehard Steelers fan. Bleed black and yellow. Russell Wilson, no.
What?
You cannot tell me. Hold on. You cannot tell me that the Steelers aren't the most loyal organization in the NFL. I want to see Kenny Pickett with a real offensive coordinator. Just give me one more year.
Well, here's the best part about this. Eric, you don't lose Kenny Pickett. Like, Kenny Pickett, maybe he wins the job. Maybe Russell Wilson's there for a year, and Kenny Pickett gets that kind of gap year and learning from Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, and Russell Wilson, and maybe he's the quarterback in 2 years. Like, I don't know that Kenny Pickett is written off altogether, but we're just going based on what Coach Tomlin said, which is he wants competition at that position. I mean, that's competition to that position. It's not impossible to think that Pickett maybe wins the job. David in Lexington listening on 1300 AM.
Morning, guys. Morning.
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 Just wanted to chime in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. My thing is, I think Kirk Cousins would be a good fit. A highly motivated coming off injury. And it would give Kenny Pickett a little bit of some competition as well. And if it works out, you know, they can give him an extension and trade Kenny Pickett. Yeah,
well, it ain't going to be competition if you get exactly, Kirk Cousins, because exactly. Kirk Cousins is going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, big time.
Like, Kirk Cousins is going to cost you, you know, $40, $45 million a year and almost $100 million guaranteed. Like, that's what it's going to take. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers sold that Kirk Cousins makes them a title contender? I don't know how you can say that coming off of that kind of injury in his age 35 season. So I don't think that they back up the Brinks truck for Kirk Cousins. I think it's going to be more of a cost-efficient move at the quarterback spot and one that would allow for Kenny Pickett to potentially compete for the starting job.
Yeah, I think on the surface, we would say, yeah, Kirk Cousins over Russell Wilson. But the money is a huge part of this, and you have to take that into consideration. It's not as easy as saying, oh, yeah, let's go out and get Kirk Cousins. You have a lot of other factors, financial being a major one, that you have to consider.
Right. Teams are basically asking themselves, just from an on-field perspective, nothing off the field, can we basically get a top 20 quarterback in this league for free? That's what signing Russell Wilson could amount to.
Yes.
Could he be a top 20 quarterback in this league?
Yeah.
And in football terms, he's basically free.
Basically.
And here's why that matters, Ev. The Pittsburgh Steelers are $5 million over the cap. You know what I mean? The salary cap is a thing. And so being able to get, you know, a quarterback that's on a below market deal is huge, especially one that has the kind of resume that Russell Wilson is bringing to the party. Again, I think the biggest aspect of this is the culture that the Pittsburgh Steelers already have in place. And I feel like Russell Wilson coming in and not having to be a change agent when it comes to the actual culture is huge in terms of being able to get the best version of him in that scenario. So, yeah, I think it's a great move, and I'm rooting for this to happen too. I think it's a marriage made out of necessity. Clearly, Mike Tomlin wants an upgrade at the quarterback spot. And Russell Wilson will provide that for him.
Yeah, I think what you're presenting is Russell Wilson can walk into a situation and be one of the guys instead of having to be the guy. And I think that at this point in his career, that's probably the best thing for him on and off the field. And, you know,
it's not a franchise that's devoid of leadership.
Correct.
Too. You know what I mean? Yep. You got a ton of leadership with your head coach. You got a ton of leadership with Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, player leadership. You got a ton of that in that locker room. So you're good on that front.
Well,
what you need is a quarterback that's competent, and you haven't had that since Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, CC's a radio pro, because what a transition. When talking about leadership, right? I mean, we talk about that all the time with quarterbacks in the NFL and star players around other sports, including in basketball. Kevin Durant has heard the noise about, hey, I'm a great player, but maybe you don't consider me a leader. Kevin Durant was on his platform with Rich Kleiman, Boardroom TV, and discussed the idea of leadership.
I'm not as charismatic as my peers. I don't have a personality that's like fit for TV. And a lot of those stories of what we talk about don't get spoken about in the media. You gotta sell what you're doing as well. And I haven't sold it enough. I don't feel like I need to. I don't feel like I want people to call me a leader, but I also don't want people to say I'm not one either, because they don't see what goes on behind the scenes or what I talk about or my intentions. What are relationships that I built with my teammates and support staff? But when guys like that say that, I just got to chalk it up to them just not being aware, push a narrative for myself, expose the truth on how great of a leader I am. I don't feel like it's necessary. I just chalk it up to those guys not being aware of who I am.
That's Kevin Durant.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think the first part of what he said is actually correct in terms of, like, he doesn't present himself outwardly as a leader. That doesn't mean he's not a leader. The second part is where I'm a little confused. It's our fault? As media, CC?
Well, I guess the part about pushing a narrative about his career and not being a leader, is it really a narrative when we've seen clear-cut examples of a lack of leadership on your behalf? You were the best player with the Brooklyn Nets. And that was a four-year experiment that ended in disaster. The guy that you decided to sign in free agency with, Kyrie Irving, he pulled a no-show on the team. Not once, but several times. I mean, nobody from the organization knew where he was, including Kevin Durant, seemingly. And the guy shows up on a Zoom for a political candidate and at a club for a birthday party? Like, that's when you see him, but you don't know when he's going to show up for work? That's leadership? I'm sorry. That's the part where Kevin Durant has got to miss me with that. When you are the best player on a team, that is, in fact, a leadership position in the NBA. You have to be accountable. You have to be responsible, not only for your on-court play and productivity, but for some of the other things that are going on with players in the locker room and trying to hold guys to account for what their roles are in your team's overall success. And he didn't do that in Brooklyn. He didn't do it with Kyrie Irving. He didn't do it with James Harden. And if he wasn't going to do it, then nobody was going to do it. And I guess that's the problem that I have when Kevin Durant talks about the quote-unquote unfair criticism of him and a lack of leadership.
Also, his point about charisma, I understand, because it's not in your face. It's not something that we can always see all the time. But there are plenty of leaders in sports that are under the radar leaders or aren't as demonstrative of leaders. And we know that they still command that respect and that they're the maybe not the singular voice in the locker room or the clubhouse, but they're one that commands a lot of attention and respect. So I don't think that he could also throw charisma out there as a reason why we in the media would say that he maybe is devoid of a little bit of leadership, because it's not always that way.
Yeah, I mean, we bring up Brooklyn. He proved in Brooklyn to be an all-time great friend. That doesn't mean you're actually a leader.
No.
The fact that he stood by Irving was
there was no leadership in Brooklyn.
Insane to me.
There was no leadership in Brooklyn. No leadership from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was an embarrassment.
I'm a fan of Kevin Durant. Like, I think Kevin Durant is an awesome player. I think he's a seemingly a good dude. But standing on your ground about leadership when the Brooklyn situation happened is tough, honestly. It's a tough look because of everything going out of control. And everybody says about Kevin Durant, the only thing he wants to do is hoop. He wants to hoop, go home, be with his friends and family, alone, away from everybody, and go play basketball. Well, the guy you went and played with in Irving literally did everything but hoop. So he didn't follow you if you're the leader, right? Part of being a leader is to get others to follow. If all you want to do is hoop and go home and mind your own business, well, your second best player certainly didn't do that.
And that's you don't have to be charismatic to hold guys accountable as a leader on a team. You don't. I mean, there are some great leaders that aren't charismatic. Jrue Holiday ain't the most charismatic guy, but he's a leader. Marcus Smart, the guy that he replaced, ain't the most charismatic, but he's a leader. There are plenty of guys that provide leadership in the NBA that don't have a ton of charisma, that aren't flashy, and that aren't always overstated. But they can still lead. They can still hold teammates accountable. And that's all anybody was ever asking from Kevin Durant. Now, if that's not in you, that's not in you. But don't be mad at us for criticizing you when the best players that we see around all sports, around all leagues, also have those intangibles, those leadership qualities.
Maybe the best example of what you just said, you don't have to be charismatic to be a leader. Go ask people in San Antonio how they feel about Tim Duncan what they would do for that man.
Yeah.
Popovich is like, I didn't do anything. It was him. He's the one that maintained the locker room. He's the one that got everybody to work every single day. Again, I've told the story a million times. Popovich and Steve Kerr have a dinner every year where they cheers at fancy wine, expensive wine. Here's to Tim Duncan. Because they realize he's the one paying for that dinner because of how great he was.
No doubt.
Over it. Coming up next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items in and around his life, sports, entertainment, that he is over. Pat, floor is yours.
Still waiting for that sponsorship. If anyone out there, affiliates, send me a t-shirt. Put your logo right up here. Dak Prescott has not had a great career, and I don't know why we even assume that he has. It's insane to me. He's been fine to underwhelming for what his expectations are.
Underwhelming?
Underwhelming. as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, underwhelming.
Wow.
Great is such a stretch. I don't even know how you can put him in that category.
He was a fourth-round pick that had a nondescript career at Mississippi State, never had massive winning there, comes in with no intention by the Cowboys of making him the starting quarterback, becomes the starting quarterback, never gives the job back to anyone else, has had a much better record winning and losing than we would have anticipated. And it's like a 200-something to 70-something touchdown-to-interception ratio and seemingly in the playoffs every single year. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson.
That's not great.
He's had a you want to change great to very good, fine.
He's had a fine career.
Don't say underwhelming is too much.
No, saying fine is understating it, Pat. Like,
yeah,
he's had a good career.
He's better than fine.
He might not be
okay,
great.
Okay, he's had a good
He might not be
career.
Hall of Fame worthy, but, I mean, listen, the guy's made 3 Pro Bowls, an all-pro team, and got AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like he's had a good career. So I'll give you good at most.
I think it is more egregious for you to say underwhelming than for any of us.
How has it not been underwhelming
great.
As the Cowboys quarterback?
Okay.
He hasn't achieved anything.
But you say as the Cowboys quarterback. I think we're talking about just as a quarterback.
Yeah, but he's not a quarterback. I mean, that's fun. It's fun in a vacuum, I guess. But he's the Cowboys quarterback.
So
and
did Tony Romo have an underwhelming career in your mind?
Yes, absolutely.
He was an undrafted free agent that Parcells found and stashed.
He was there for like a decade. Like, I don't care that he was undrafted. That doesn't matter to me after like the second season. After that, you're just the quarterback of the Cowboys.
But you're
going to
call
him
underwhelming?
So basically, unless you win a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys, you're an underwhelming quarterback. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, what did Tony Romo was a 4-time Pro Bowler and they never really got anywhere. I mean, he had a better career than Dak, but that's not saying that much. Dak hasn't done anything.
Dak hasn't done anything?
So in order to change it from good to great, Pat, is it about the postseason success or more regular season accolades?
The what? Yeah, the postseason.
Yeah,
what you
I
said.
I struggle to get that out. I struggle to get that out. Just like I struggle to see your point about Dak Prescott having a fine career. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He's had a good career, but I think the thing that elevates it is by having more postseason success. There's nothing that he can really do in a regular season to add to it, short of winning an MVP.
Wait, more CC and Smalls, more egregious statement. Someone saying that Dak Prescott's career is underwhelming or someone saying that Dak Prescott's career has been great? More egregious statement.
More egregious is underwhelming to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I lean that direction.
Put it on the poll, Rob. Has Dak Prescott's career been great or underwhelming?
Put it on the poll, Rob.
No, because that's the thing.
Because
no,
I'm right.
But
that's why. Because if we put it on the poll,
but that's
I'll
not
win.
What was, fine, you could do that on Sports ESPN, but that's not actually what we're saying. We're saying we're actually acknowledging that both statements may be too much.
Okay. Also, if we put up the poll and Pat is proven incorrect, he's got to put money in the jar. Fair?
Sure.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand. How can we say he's had a fine career and also say that he is a top 10 quarterback?
Well, he's better than fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part I don't understand.
Well, that's the difference between what's happening today and his career as a whole.
Like, if you're going to define a fine career, I think Daniel Jones has been fine. He's been fine. Right? He's fine. You can't say he's fine.
I mean, okay,
fine.
I guess.
No, he's not.
Jeez, man.
Stop.
Your standards are
yes,
crazy
stop.
If you think
Bruno
that's a fine career.
In the background.
I mean, he's been fine. He hasn't been amazing.
He was the sixth pick to the draft. He has not been fine.
They went to the playoffs, did they not?
Okay, great. So, guess
the
what?
The Jets would love that, I'm
Brock
sure.
Brock Purdy's career has been great, right? Compared to Dak, Brock Purdy's been great. Based upon where you
I
drafted.
I love Brock Purdy, but I don't think he has enough of a sample size to make a judgment one way or another like that. What would Derek Carr's career be?
Fine.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To underwhelming.
Okay. All right. Next one, Pat.
I don't know how Hembo can possibly say that Mike Trout is a baseball tragedy.
I don't know.
Talk
either.
About one of the most egregious sentences you could possibly say. Mike Trout voluntarily chose to be with the Angels and is voluntarily staying there for $500 million. There's nothing tragic about that other than maybe his own decision making.
Well said. That I can agree with you on. I sat there screaming and yelling at Hembo yesterday on Greeny. Because I don't understand how we look at Mike Trout as a sympathetic figure when Mike Trout is loyal by his choice. Mike Trout chooses personal privacy, which is his choice, over being in the spotlight with the pressure to win. That's okay. Nobody's saying that's wrong. I don't feel badly for the guy.
But by saying it's a baseball tragedy or he's a baseball tragedy, I don't want to speak for him, but I say that all the time too. It's a sports tragedy that he's buried with the Angels. And it's not because I have sympathy for him because it is his choice. I have sympathy for me as a baseball fan.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
When someone is that great and they have so much potential to be great on the big stage and I'm robbed of that, that's a problem for me. That's a sports tragedy in my life.
Yeah, the victims aren't the Angels or Mike Trout. The victims are baseball fans as a whole. And the Angels gave Mike Trout golden handcuffs, but he's the one that put them on.
Right.
And refuses to take them off, even though he's got the key. It makes no sense to me. Like, I just, to say it's a sports tragedy, it's not. I mean, it's a tragic that we as baseball fans don't have an opportunity to see him when the game matters the most and when we all lock in on it, which is the postseason. But yeah, Mike Trout is nobody's victim. He's nobody's sob story in this scenario. He's just not.
A sports tragedy, if you want to look at it, would be a guy like Ernie Banks, who played, you know, for the Cubs forever during an era where you couldn't go anywhere, right? Yeah. He couldn't sit there and say, you know, I've given all I had. I'd love to go to this team to put them over the top, whatever it is. Mike Trout literally lives in the era where people ask out every other day, it feels like, in all sports. It's on him as much as it's on anybody else.
True. Okay, but do you think Dan Marino not winning a Super Bowl is a sports tragedy? Because I do.
But Dan Marino at least got there. Dan Marino had a level of success that I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily group him in the Mike Trout category.
I don't know. He's so great that it just feels like we were robbed of him not winning a title.
A sports tragedy is Jim Kelly getting to the Super Bowl 4 straight years and not winning it.
That's a really good one. That is a really good sports tragedy for sure.
Next one, Pat.
I don't think the 12-team format is better for the college football playoff because I don't think there are going to be 12 teams that can win it every year. I think at most you have 6 on any given season, and 12 is too many.
Okay, you know what? We gotta dive into that because they made the announcement yesterday. It's going to be the 5-7 format. The five conference winners.
I
literally wasn't sure when I just said that. I'm not kidding. If 5 + 7 = 12. That's literally where my mind went. I wasn't sure if my math was right.
Well,
I'm sorry to the University of Wisconsin. I don't mean to be a negative reflection on you.
We were told there would be no math here, so.
That's fair.
5 + 7, I should probably know, though.
Probably.
We will dive into what Pat said coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.